Future is now. And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. I will be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. An interesting 24 hours it has been in the crypto space. To kind of kick things off, we have seen crypto markets continue to be at, a crossroads, despite a lot of positive chatter being out there in the market and within communities around different projects. So that's interesting that the market hasn't really picked that up yet. I guess there's a cyclical effect of new retail investors entering into the space, fresh capital. And I mean, from talking to people, friends, family, whoever it may be, and neighbors, people we meet on the street, the interest was high in January or December of last year, January of this year. And we've kind of seen the interest wear off a little bit. I think people are very inquisitive, but I think people actually deploying capital has stopped. And you can clearly see that with the market downward trend that we've been seeing the last couple of months. Is this going to be, you know, with the retail picking back up, is this going to be the thing that saves the market? Probably not. I really believe institutions will be coming in very soon, and that's going to pick things up. But for the time being, we are at a moment where the tech has outperformed. We are not seeing matched prices to where the prices should be. As we saw last year, we saw the tech develop, we saw the price go up, saw the tech develop again, saw the price go up. And this year we have seen the opposite, really. The tech goes up, the prices are coming down as people are fearful. And it's fear and greed, which is the clearest and most adequate, I guess, response to what's going on in the minute. Bitcoin is currently trading at $6,113. That's down 2% in the last 24 hours. Ethereum is currently trading at $434. That's down 4%. You have Bitcoin Cash at $707. That's down 4%. EOS currently trading at $7.70. That's also down 4%. Cardano is currently trading at 12.5 cents. Oof. And that's down 4.5%. NEO is currently trading at $30. I mean, oof. I remember NEO was trading like $160 a couple of months ago. And that was one of the assets, or the crypto assets, that took a little while to come down. When we saw the market, the downtrend begin, NEO was probably one of the last assets that we saw to start depreciating in value. It really held well for the small time that it did. We have Binance Coin at $14. That's down 3% the last 24 hours. Binance Coin, by the way, last year was trading like $6-7 around kind of December time last year, and it's gone on a rip your face off rally. They also burn a percentage of tokens every quarter, which is another catalyst for token price appreciation. And the tokenomic structure of the Binance Coin, or BNB, is the ticker. It's incredibly smart. It's kind of basic stuff, burning tokens and having an oversupply and not creating more tokens just because you can. It's basic tokenomics, and off the back of that, it's done incredibly well. And obviously, Binance's success as a firm, as a crypto exchange has been going from strength to strength, which obviously helps the coin as well, because if you use the coin, I believe you pay, I think it's less trading fees. I think it's like 0.05, so 50 basis points or something, instead of the 1%, which I think is the kind of average or standard charge. But I have to kind of check on that. Don't take my word for it. But I believe that's kind of the structure of that. Anyway, listen, let's get on to the next part of the show. So let's talk EOS. One of the stories that has come to our attention today was the EOS arbitrator problem, a crypto governance breakdown explained. So let's jump in. They haven't figured their shit out. Those were the harsh words of EOS's top block producers, the network participants in charge of maintaining the blockchain, on Monday, as the world's fifth largest cryptocurrency attracted public ridicule of its current state of confusion. As told by major press releases, or by Kevin Rose, who's part of the CoinDesk, a co-founder and head strategy of EOS New York, the statement could reflect the broader snags the software has faced since release. But the comment was focused specifically on EOS Core Arbitration Forum, the ECAF. So far, it seems many both sides, or many and all sides, outside the EOS community aren't clear what ECAF means and the main body tasked with resolving disputes between token holders and the network is, and what control it has over the transactions. That's largely because ECAF's role and duties were discussed back and forth over months of forum discussions, but clear methods and processes don't seem to have been decided on. It's become apparent over the past few days that the mess or the situation of information now needs to be organized and clearly communicated to the community. Stepping back, and this turbulence began on June 17th, just 3 days after the network's launch, when the network's top block producers unanimously intervened to stop seven addresses from making transactions. That decision was reactively endorsed by ECAF, order the arbitrator, and initially refused to rule on the issue. Then on June 22nd, an order made the rounds that ECAF wanted to freeze 27 more accounts, to which the logic and reasoning will be posted at a later date. And that's quoting from the website. On June 24th, another order was seemingly issued, demanding that tokens be revoked by some addresses. That order, however, turned out to be fake. With all the mayhem, EOS New York made a big decision. Until it can reasonably be certain about their authenticity, the block producer wrote on Sunday, it will ignore ECAF decisions or decisions that appear to be ECAF decisions. We cannot with confidence execute any statement claiming to be an ECAF opinion, the organization said, adding, we will resume normal processing once communications can be established on-chain, such that they can be audited by both EOS New York and the community. Adding to that, Rose pointed to what he called a rampant misunderstanding about what arbitration is on the EOS network. According to him, ECAF needs improved processes, more transparency, and ultimately competition. Rosehan Abraham of EOS Authority, another top block producer, agreed that ECAF's processes are flawed. Meanwhile, EOS and the Telegram chats are abuzz with complaints, speculation, and unanswered questions about the arbitrator, the judge, and the bailiff. Still, these folks are supposed to be held to predictable and rational governance rules. Those within the EOS constitution, although that rule set is still at an early stage, and it seems to be somewhat at the heart of the issues. After the fake order to revoke tokens from some addresses, Rose told CoinDesk, I woke up to a scanned PDF on Twitter claiming to move property, and I spent the next 45 minutes trying to figure out if it was real. He continued, I don't have time to do that. That's not secure. That's not how professionals work. Rather than having to spend time analyzing the merits of evidence of a case, Rose said, a block producer should be able to leave the arbitration to somebody who is trained to do that. An arbitrator who can just tell us what to do, in other words. He said, block producers should be like courtroom bailiffs. He's not going to do anything unless the judge is asking him to take someone away. It doesn't make him stupid. That's his job, he said. So far, though, such crudeless tactics on the part of block producers has been impossible given the quality of ECAF's efforts. Its decisions are not stored in any one repository, but passed around social media as screenshots or PDFs signed by hand. ECAF has a website, but you'd think it has some shoddy shell company, said Rose. And that could lead to misinformation, if not outright scams like other fake order displays, which thieves in such a crypto environment. This situation itself is especially embarrassing for EOS, though, which has been attempted to reject most cryptocurrency state of borderline anarchy. EOS has erected quasi-official institutions governed by quasi-legal structures laid out in written constitution. What I'd like to say to the story here, and I think there are some very valid points regarding the governance of EOS itself, but you also have to understand that when this is coming out, when this is happening, one of the main issues is that the community launched this. It wasn't Block One, it wasn't EOS, it was the community that launched it. The issues we're having is transparency between block producers, the ECAF, giving orders to the block producers, the community not really knowing what's going on. But this is all being resolved. This has happened. This is a small thing that's happened and it's been resolved. It has had a lot of attention. It's had a lot of community pressure. And guess what? It's now fixed and it's now being fixed. And we had one of the block producers from EOS 42, or EOS 42 is a block producer, on the show a couple of days ago, and he said the same thing. This is early stage governance issues. This is something that we're going to be building out. And as a token holder, as someone who believes in EOS and a scalable future with zero transaction fees, this is just something that we need to work through as a community together, instead of shunning our backs away and turning away from the situation and not wanting anything to do with it. This is where the community really kicks in, and this is where the power of the community comes in as well. And this is something we have to remember as token holders. You have a right to be part of this. You have the ability to make decisions as a community. And some people, I think, just turn away when a situation occurs. They just turn away and don't want anything to do with it. And I think that's the wrong ethos and the wrong spirit to have. But that's just my thought on the situation. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on what's happening with EOS at the minute. But I mean, as a whole, everything's absolutely fine. We speak to the devs at Block One. Everything's going great. And I think it's an interesting time for EOS. It really is. And I think what's next is building out the ecosystem, which is what us VCs are doing. And it's exciting, man. There's a lot going on in the space. There's a lot happening, especially for EOS. And I know there's a lot of other new and exciting projects out there as well. I think I'm going to make a prediction here. I think that we're going to see a lot of enterprise level companies moving over to EOS, and I reckon that we're going to see a lot of projects pre-existing on Ethereum with large networks moving over to EOS because of the scalability and the zero transaction fees. I think that's a huge barrier for a lot of projects on Ethereum, and that's now going to be taken away. So listen, exciting stuff. The road ahead is very, very exciting. We cannot wait to see this build out. And we've got to make decisions as a community and move forward together. So listen, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Have a phenomenal day wherever you are in the world. And let's make it happen. Let's do this. And remember, as always, to follow us on our socials, Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Telegram is where it goes down, which is SVK space crowd. And you can hit myself up on email, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y @SVKcrypto.com. And now you can also follow me on Instagram, Charles Story. So Charles, how you normally spell it, Story, S-T-O-R-R-Y, one word. And hit me up on Instagram as well, man. I've got so many cool pics going up on a daily basis from our events, from the different events that we attend around the world. It's going down on the gram. So listen, let's make it happen. Let's do this. That's a wrap. I got to bounce. Have a phenomenal day.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.